Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Friday, March 7th, 8:05 Central Standard Time, which means it is time to study the Daily Lectionary. Our guest pastor this morning is Pastor James Welmer. He's pastor at Faith Lutheran Church in Plano, Texas. Good morning, Pastor Welmer.
Yes, good morning.
Thanks so much for being our guest today.
Well, glad to be here with you.
Wonderful. Well, tell us a little bit about Faith Lutheran Church in Plano, Texas.
Well, actually, we're going to be celebrating our 50th anniversary next year. So we are a congregation a little bit north of Dallas. Proud to be Lutheran and proud to, and privileged to preach Christ crucified for us poor sinners. We also have a school here as well, preschool through high school. So we thank God for the opportunity to teach and preach His Word.
Very good. Well, amen to that. I'm glad to hear that you're proclaiming the Word of God there in down in Texas. Is it a little bit warmer there for you today?
I think a high is supposed to be in the upper 50s, so warmer than what the weather has been.
Very good. Well, our text today is Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 45. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Well, before we even jump into the text, and we've been working on the, you know, we continue to study the Daily Lectionary, so we've been studying Mark for a little bit now, but would you like to share a little bit of background on the text for us before we even jump into the verses for today?
Sure, this is early in his ministry, and he has called a few disciples already. Some of the disciples are mentioned in the text here. But primarily, he does a lot of healing in this text. Peter's mother-in-law, those who are sick, and also a leper. But in the middle of this, he also, Jesus spends time in prayer goes out to a desolate place for prayer, so we see a priority there as well. So primarily, it's the beginning of his ministry, and there's a lot of healing that takes place in this text.
Well, let's take a look at verses 29 and following then. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. So just as you pointed out with the background, there's some healing going on here. Immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew, and Simon's mother-in-law is there. She's sick. They told him about her, and he came and took her, and all of a sudden the fever's gone.
Yeah, what's interesting in this way is the different ways in which he heals. Here, he took her by the hand, and there's oft other times where he either will speak a miracle, and we see that also as well later on with the leper. So here he actually touched, and the miracle happened immediately. But also we see the total healing of her in the fact that she immediately served him. So it was a miracle that gave her healing, restored her to health, and gave her strength to even serve.
Verse 32, that evening at sundown, they brought him to all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. So we're dealing with sickness, but here we also hear of demons, those who were oppressed by demons. What do you have to share with us about these verses 32 through 34?
Yeah, we see that demon possession is certainly heightened during Jesus' ministry. They know who he is. But Jesus not only has the power to heal the sick, like Peter's mother-in-law, and here it mentioned many with various diseases, but he's also able to cast out the demons. And so Jesus has the power even over demons. Now, later on, he even has the power to still the storm, and the disciples are amazed by this. And so here, what's comforting to know is that Jesus' power over the demons, and even the cross and the resurrection will be a defeat for Satan. And what's comforting for us is that Christ wins victory even over our enemies, not only of sin and death, but also the devil. The other thing is that these miracles foreshow a time when our bodies will be perfectly healed on the day of the resurrection. On the last day, when the soul be rejoined to the body. And so Jesus' miracles here clearly not only proclaim that he is the Son of God, and he has the power over sin and demons, it also shows that he is the promised Messiah. It also foreshows as well what will be done on the day of the resurrection.
The whole city was gathered together at the door. That's a lot of people, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think the fame, the popularity, the news of mm-hmm. Jesus spread. I mean, you just cannot help but tell other people about what happened to you or the miracle that Jesus had given to you, or perhaps maybe a family member. And so, they heard about him. And they told other people, and they brought the sick to Jesus, and he healed them. He healed, his fame spread, and he provided healing for them.
We're studying the Daily Lectionary today with Pastor James Wilmer, Pastor Faith Lutheran Church in Plano, Texas. We're in Mark chapter 1 today. If you have questions about the text, you can give us a call, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us at kfuo@kfuo.org. We'd be glad to take some questions as we're studying the text in Mark today. Verse 34, he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. The healing the sick this isn't something that anybody else had done prior to this. This is unique to Jesus, correct?
Yes, and now prophets in the Old Testament healed. Elijah and Elisha and so forth. But here, yes, a new era has broken in. And this clearly is a picture that a new kingdom is among them, and that is... And Jesus, the goal obviously is for them to rightly understand who Jesus is, not just some miracle worker, but his goal and purpose is the cross. And he doesn't want his identity misunderstood. That's kind of why later on he tells the leper and others to be cautious and what you say about me, and because ultimately he wants them to see that he is the promised Messiah, and ultimately his goal is the cross and the resurrection. That's crucial.
Backing up just a little bit, in verse 32, that evening at sundown, they brought him to all who were sick or oppressed. Is there any significance about the fact that it was sundown?
Yeah, this is the Sabbath. Actually, the previous text, I think in 21, makes reference to this being the Sabbath, and that's why they did not want to. They want to be cautious not to do it, to break any Sabbath rule or law, and that's why after sundown, the Sabbath basically was over. Mm-hmm. That's why they brought the sick to Jesus at that time.
Jesus had already gotten in enough trouble healing on the Sabbath prior to this.
Yeah.
Anything else about those first few verses 29 through 34 that you want to talk about before we press on to any of the further text?
Yeah, and I meant to emphasize earlier the fact of Simon's mother-in-law served Jesus. This is clearly a response of thankfulness for what Christ has done for her. And we see this in our own lives when we serve the neighbor, we serve one another. It's always done out of thankfulness for what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And so it's not a way to earn his favor or for us to earn our works to salvation. No, Christ did it all. And so our service within his kingdom, or even for one another, is again out of thankfulness for the grace and mercy God gives to us in Christ.
Amen to that. We We see that in, what, the second article of the Creed, correct?
Yes.
Who Jesus is and what he is, what he's done for us and all this we do, so that we may, you know, all this he's done, that we might be his own and live under him in his kingdom.
And serve in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Exactly. Proclaiming Christ as the one and only Savior to all, and loving the neighbor.
All done out of thankfulness for what he has done for us.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Shall we press on ahead then to verse 35?
Yeah.
And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went through all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. So here we have, you know, just before this, it was evening, sundown. Now, verse 35, rising very early in the morning. So is this, I assume, the next morning then?
Right. Yep. Sunday morning. Well, our Sunday morning. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was a busy day for him. I mean, he's done a lot, but what we see is even in the busyness of the day, Jesus sees it necessary to be in prayer, speaking to his Heavenly Father, to be sure. And this is a good example for us as well, even in the busyness of our own day, to take time in his word and also in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a good example for us.
He departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And it was still early. It was still dark in the morning. I can identify with that. I'm sure others probably have, you know, work similar to mine. You leave when it's still dark and get to work, and it's a quiet place, not a lot of people there. Great time, as you said, to pray, to read God's word, and a great way to start the day. Verse 36, and Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." Now, so Jesus is off in a desolate place, but yet they still find him.
Yeah, and the urgency, the disciples want him to continue helping people and healing them, and yet Jesus's purpose, though, he is not to be perceived as a miracle worker only, and yet his purpose, notice he says preaching, so we assume that the miracles and preaching were side by side. And so it's very important to understand the true identity of Christ and who he is, and one ought not to misunderstand Jesus. And so he doesn't stay just at one place. I mean, there are others. Jesus wants his word to go out, and so they go to the next town. And notice here it says that I may preach. Well, we assume that there is comfort and peace in Christ alone. So the miracles were done for the purpose of identifying him as the Son of God who has come to save the world, the promised Messiah. That's crucial there. So I'm sure his preaching identified that a new era is among them in Christ. And so many others needed to hear that as well. So he goes from town to town. He doesn't just stay in one place.
And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went through all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. So he came to preach. What is it that Jesus is preaching?
The Old Testament is fulfilled in him. In his first sermon in Nazareth, in the Gospel of Luke, today this is fulfilled in your hearing. And the Old Testament is clearly, very clear, and pointing forward to that promised Messiah, the Savior who will crush the head of Satan, who will win victory over sin and death. He preached both law and gospel. We see that in the Sermon on the Mount, both law and gospel about our sin, and yet about God's grace in Christ Jesus alone. So we look to him alone as the one who clearly fulfilled the law in our place, died in our place, and so his preaching preaching today is Christ-centered, cross-focused, as our Savior from all sin, and also back then his preaching would have brought comfort to poor sinners, comfort that Christ brings. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, he says.
We're studying Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 45 today with Pastor James Wellmer, pastor at Faith Lutheran Church in Plano, Texas. If you have a question about the text today, you can give us a call at 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us at kfuo@kfuo.org. We'd be glad to take some questions. Let's go to Cheryl. She's on the line. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. I just had a couple of things. On verse 35, rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, that reminds me of a resurrection, Easter Sunday. And on verse 40, when the leper says, you can make me clean, that reminds me of Psalm 51, used to be in the liturgy, create in me a clean heart, O God. And only Jesus can do that. So that's just what I wanted to say.
Well, thanks for your call, Cheryl, and thanks for pointing us back to those other passages in Scripture as well. Thanks so much for calling today. Pastor?
Excellent, yes. And so when we see very early in the morning, like I mentioned, it's Sunday morning, we naturally think of resurrection. And she's exactly right. It's because of the death and resurrection of Christ that we are clean. Leprosy is the word, by the way, on the miracle of leprosy is always clean, cleansed, and we think of, and this is exactly what God does for our sins. He casts them out, he blots them out, he remembers them no more on account of Christ and his sacrifice.
Very good. We are studying Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 45 today with Pastor Wellmer from Faith Lutheran Church in Plano, Texas. We need to take a break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue pressing on with verses 40 and following. Stick around for more His Time right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
During the last few days on Law and Gospel, we spoke on a number of issues along with our co-hosts, the Reverend Mark Smith and the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. On the next Law and Gospel, which is an open mic occasion, you have the opportunity to continue that discussion or ask any question on your mind of a theological nature.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
The Dalai Lama has opened the U.S. Senate with prayer. With lawmakers standing in respect, the orange-robed Tibetan leader said he would pray to Buddha and all other gods. He concluded with what he said was a prayer he recites daily.
As long as space remains, and as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain and help dispel the misery of the world.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid explained what Tibetan Buddhists believe about their Dalai Lamas.
All of them are enlightened beings who have postponed their own nirvana, or liberation from the cycle of reincarnation, in order to serve humanity.
Reid said that's why the current Dalai Lama is believed to have been reincarnated.
When he was only 2 years old, His Holiness was recognized as reincarnation of the 13th Dalai Lama.
The Tibetan leader met with President Obama at the White House last month. I'm Steve Coleman.
God's Word, God's promises can be trusted even when things don't appear right for the moment. Life God's way means letting His design carry you through life, trusting that He's good, that He loves you, that He will take care of your life, even when you don't think life is the way you'd like it to be at the moment.
Pastor Gregory Seltz, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. We are studying the Daily Lectionary today with Pastor James Welmer from Faith Lutheran Church in Plano, Texas. We're in Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 45. And Pastor, anything else about that previous 35 through 39 before we go on to 40?
Nope. I think we've covered that thoroughly.
Very good. All right. And so verse 40, and a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. So a leper comes to Jesus, begging him, asking him, "If you will, you can make me clean."
Yeah, I think this is a good example of humility. He doesn't, and so also for us, what we do is we kneel, we bow our heads, we confess before God that we are poor, miserable sinners. We implore him to forgive us and to heal us. And so it's a good example here of a posture, an attitude toward God, and also for us, again, we poor sinners imploring him to have mercy upon us, and God does in Christ Jesus. The leper, we should also say, he doesn't demand things, but he puts it in Jesus' lap, if you will. And he knows who Jesus is. He says, "You can make me clean." He has faith in Christ and who Jesus is. And again, this is a good example for us. We suffer from all kinds of sicknesses and ailments and trials and tribulations, to be sure. And God wants us to pray. And yet our prayers should always be, "Thy will be done. Help me, Lord." And yet according to his will. So the way in which the leper prays and how he prays is a good example for us.
Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." The word pity here, I'm not sure how we understand the word pity in our culture today, if that's really what the word means here. What are your thoughts on that phrase in verse 41, moved with pity?
Yeah, the Greek word is pronounced plagizomai, and it's a word that means my heart goes out to you. Okay, so that which is inside of us is moved, and so our heart goes out to someone who is suffering. Another word could be used as compassion, that Jesus has a compassion for this leper, or Jesus is filled with tender kindness. So that's what this word means, and Jesus has compassion on us poor sinners, in all that we go through as well, and he does hear our prayers. But the greatest act of compassion, obviously, for us poor sinners is the cross and his victory, Christ's victory over death and the devil. And so we rejoice in that. And it's because of that cross that we are clean. We are forgiven in Christ.
And so Jesus stretches out his hand, touches him, and says to him, "I will be clean." So Jesus says, I will have pity on you. I will, and now you be clean.
What's interesting here is that Jesus actually touched a leper. And that was forbidden back then. Actually, lepers had to stay away from others lest they get the same disease. So this disease is not going to affect Jesus. Jesus can touch a leper and not be affected by leprosy because Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus is not afraid to touch the sick, the dead, or whatever. And so, and this is also another way in which he healed this leper. The 10 lepers, though, he healed by speaking. So he does heal in different ways. And Jesus is willing to help this poor leper. And then Jesus spoke then, be clean. And we are touched by water and the word. We partake of the bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ. We hear those words, I forgive you. Be clean, and so the gospel even for us comes to us in different ways, different forms, and so also for us that forgiveness, that grace and mercy comes to us on account of Christ, and praise be to God for that.
We've talked about performative statements, that God's word does what it says. So when Jesus says, be clean, What does that do?
It does what he says. It's kind of like, let there be light. Yeah, God's word is performative. It's powerful. It accomplishes that for which God has sent it. It creates faith. It brings one out of unbelief into faith in Christ. It removes sin as far as the east is from the west. Here, the leprosy left the man, and he was healed of his leprosy, and for us there is the forgiveness of sins.
The difference between Jesus saying be clean and you and I saying be clean on our own accord to someone who is unclean or has leprosy or is just needs a bath, is dirty or something like that, if you or I on our own accord were to say be clean, it means go do something. You should go take a bath. You should go wash. But when Jesus says it here, there's power in it. And when he says be clean, he actually does in it what he says, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's different than what you or I would say. That's just the power of God's word that, as you said, let there be light, and there was light. That's the amazing power of God's word, as opposed to my word, you know, which is of my own accord, be clean. It's just simply an imperative. You should go do something. I'm offering advice. But when God says it, it's totally different. I don't know if we really fully understand that because of our culture and the way that we understand language and the English language. So when we're translating this into English and you hear Jesus say, be clean, I don't know if we fully grasp the power that is in that when Jesus says that.
Yes, and even for us, the word of God today, preached or taught, is powerful. It does convert. It does renew and strengthen us. And so we are comforted by that.
Amen. So immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Just as you were saying, there's the power of God's word. When God speaks, he does what his word says. Verse 43, and Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. Why would Jesus tell him, very sternly, don't talk to anyone, just go to the priest and offer what the law commands, what Moses commands, for a proof to the priest?
Jesus does not want people to misunderstand his identity. He does not want people to see him merely and only as some miracle worker. Again, the miracles were done so that there may be faith in him as the Son of God, the promised Messiah. So ultimately, there will be faith in the cross and the resurrection. So he doesn't want people to, again, misunderstand his identity. And as you read also there, and Jesus does respect the Old Testament laws of offering a sacrifice. Actually, he is clean and cleansed and healed, and yet the priest is to authenticate that, if you will, or I should say declare this to be true. And so Jesus actually was the one that did the healing, the cleansing, and the priest just affirmed that. And he the clean leper then offered a sacrifice as, again, as what Moses commanded.
But instead, what does the leper do? He went out and talked, went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, and so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but it was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. So the leper leaves and does the opposite of what Jesus told him.
And that causes problems because people then, again, come to Jesus for the wrong reasons. And we have to be cautious of going to Jesus for the wrong reasons as well, or misunderstanding his true purpose in life and what he has done. We ought not to misuse God's word, add to it, subtract to it, or really teach anything different than what the word of God says. And so a faithfulness toward God's word. We are called to faithfulness in God's word, and we pray that it's rightly preached and taught, even in our own lives too, and that there may be faith in who Jesus truly is, our Savior from sin, death, and the devil.
You heal one leper, and people are going to start to talk, right?
Right, and you cannot really all these miracles here. You know, I mean, if we would have been in their shoes, you just cannot but talk about it.
Right,
but again, the true identity of Jesus should not be understood. Actually, that's what also happened to the demons, because the demons actually know who Jesus is. They know he's the Son of God, and Jesus did not permit them to speak. So that people would not make Jesus out to be some bread king or political figure. Jesus' goal is the cross.
Since the leper went and spread the news, Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but he ended up in desolate places. But yet people still found him. They were coming to him from every quarter. Does this mean like every what does every quarter mean?
Every north, south, east, west, they were looking for him. They wanted healing done. And Jesus probably was really overwhelmed. And he saw the need for prayer and to be in a desolate place, but he doesn't want them to misunderstand him for the wrong reasons. The miracles have always, for the purpose of showing that he is the Son of God, who has come to fulfill the Old Testament promises. And so any misuse of Jesus or seeing him for the wrong reasons, we have to be cautious too as well in our own lives.
And because this word is getting out, this is, looking ahead, this is going to cause more problems for Jesus, right? Once other people, scribes and Pharisees, are going to hear about this, right?
Right. And then the scribes and Pharisees, do not like the increase of popularity that Jesus is receiving. They even question whether his miracles were authentic. And it increases an antagonism, actually, against Jesus. And really, toward the last year of his ministry, there are not many miracles recorded in the Gospels. And so early in the ministry, he performs miracles for the purpose of ultimately having the people hear what he has to say. Like I mentioned earlier, the word preaching is in this text. And so Jesus wants them to hear his message, hear his word, so that there is faith in his word, in who he truly is.
Looking back over the text for today, all the 29 through 45, and understanding the whole thing in context, anything else that you'd like to share with us? I know we have morning prayer coming up with the sermonette in a little bit, but anything else that you'd like to share with us in review of all the text today?
Yeah, we live in a fallen world, and we have sicknesses and trials and tribulations in our own lives as well. And it is good for us to pray, and God does hear our prayers, and he does answer the prayers. And so, and there are many blessings that God gives to us, a doctor, a hospital, or whatever it might be, for our own healing. And we may be healed, we may not, but we do know that there will be perfect healing on the day of the resurrection. And it is our hope and prayer that our faith that God has given to us may look to Christ alone as one who died and rose again for us, forgives our sins, makes us clean by means of his gospel. And it's our prayer, like Peter's mother-in-law, that we may gladly serve one another and out of love and thankfulness for what God has done for us.
Well, thank you, Pastor, for being our guest and helping us study the text today. We've been talking with Pastor James Welmer. He's pastor at Faith Lutheran Church in Plano, Texas. We've been studying Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 45. Pastor Welmer, thanks so much for being our guest today and teaching us as we study God's Word.
Okay, thank you.
Blessings to you and the folks at Faith in Plano.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk with Pastor Warren Wirth for Creation Cloud right here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.